Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code DKHOOPS. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code DKHOOPS, only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
The VC Show is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, but you must be 21 or older.
The VC Show, let's go, doing the part with Roz. We got the sports on deck for our audience. Whether it's big news, hot topics, updates, straight facts, storytelling, breakdowns, or special guests. VC Show, let's go, it's time to turn it out. The VC Show, let's go, let's go.
Welcome to the VC Show presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Omaha Audio, I'm Vince Carter. See no Roz today. The girl is busy, man. She's working. She's working, so we got to give her time to do what she got to do when she has to do it. So, Roz, we're thinking about you. I'm going to hold it down till you get back. Hope I'm doing a good job. But I'm here to discuss some trade rumors, just some thoughts and some things and some sights and sounds, some interesting things around the league that has happened in the past week. And that's it. I'm sure it's everybody's talking about it, whether you're at home, at work, in the barbershop. So, yeah, man, let's get right into it, man. So many big moves. A lot of great things happened, obviously. Number one topic, Kevin Durant asks for a trade and gets the trade he wants, which says a lot about, obviously, what Kevin Durant obviously means. In how he went about all of this. Yes, he asked for all of the things and wanted to be moved. It was either him or management or the coach, Steve Nash, before. But Kevin Durant is just a hooper. Kevin Durant just wants to play ball. He just wants to play basketball and win games and obviously give himself a chance to win. So I think the difference in trades, and I'm going to talk about Kevin Durant and then work my way back to Kyrie. But Kevin Durant did everything that they asked. He was available. Obviously, he got hurt, but he was available. And he just wanted to be a basketball player. He just wanted to be out there with his team. So when he goes in and he asks for a trade, it was granted. He wanted to go to Phoenix and Phoenix only. So they made it happen. They did what they had to do. And, you know, they got some pretty good darn pieces back, and I've watched them play two games now. And one thing about Jock Vaughn, you can say what you want to say about Jock Vaughn. Think about when Jock had this team before. He had those guys playing hard. He had them playing hard prior to Kyrie and KD coming in. They came to the Brooklyn Nets because they played hard. And he just got some pieces that can shoot and defend. So they have guys who can defend on the perimeter. They have guys who can shoot. Yes, they're going to need to get a little bigger. So you're going to rely on Ben Simmons as far as rebounding and guarding some of the bigger guys. Obviously, Claxton. So they did okay. And then Kyrie, had the Nets organization in a slight chokehold. And what I mean by that is just availability. Outside of all of, whatever your beliefs in the vaccinations or not, it's availability. They're trying to win. You say one thing, you want to do what you want to do. You just want to win. And then the other thing. So I think that was their thing. So him wanting to go wherever he wanted to go naturally, in my opinion, the Brooklyn Nets weren't going to grant his wishes of going where he wanted to go. We've heard whispers about it. I believe that to be true, particularly when he goes, he asks to be traded where he wanted to go. No. And we obviously we hear about that. And then Kevin Durant follows up a couple of days later and then he gets his wishes. So it goes back to what I said about, just doing what you have to do, being a professional. And typically, it was said by some reporters that I know that Sean Marks said he hated to move KD because he loves him. He thought he was great. He loved everything about him, his work ethic, his approach, blah, blah, blah. But he was good to them. He did what he wanted to do, so he wanted to grant his wishes. So I'm just glad it's over. For everyone, I think they can move on. I think it's just kind of eggshells every day, leave it up to them. Yes, they were playing great. They were playing great basketball. Don't get me wrong. Like, if they stay together, you never know. I mean, they were playing great basketball. A piece can put them in better contention because they're going to go out there and try to find something at the trade deadline. Instead, the whole thing just blew up. So it was interesting, but, it is what it is. I know. You heard the topics. I was on a bunch of trade deadline shows, and then the topic was this team the biggest failure of all time? I hate to use the word failure, so I'm going to say it was one of the biggest disappointments of all time. Obviously, with all that talent, all three of them will be Hall of Famers. All three of them will be probably when they finish their careers in the top 20 in scoring. Two of them obviously have a championship, at least one. The resume speaks for itself. I know there's a lot of baggage that comes with Kyrie. And some will say the same with James Harden, but James Harden was doing his thing. MVP, scoring champ. So he's done enough to earn Hall of Fame status. So, and then you put that on paper with some of the pieces that have come in and out of Brooklyn to kind of strengthen and make them a contender. You're just like, wow. You naturally understand why people say these guys are meant to be. And then you turn and you think that three played 16 games together. 16 as a big three. So, yeah, they had to make a decision. There's a lot of money being given out, so they had to kind of, take their losses and kind of move on, and they didn't move in a bad direction. So Brooklyn Nets aren't hurting. They don't have superstars, but they play hard. For those who watched the game, they took the 76ers to the brink. They lost by three there, so a couple days ago. So yeah, we'll see what happens in the future. Where do we go from here? Let's go to the obvious, the Los Angeles Lakers. We know made trades. I think it was writing on the wall. It was just a matter of when. Lakers received 9 new players. D'Angelo Russell headlines that group. Mo Bamba. I have some notes. Who else was in that trade that I'm forgetting? That's Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt and Devon Reed were the guys amongst other guys. But they did. They did some things, and I don't think it moved the needle as far as championship contender. They're better. They are a playoff team. Now you get LeBron healthy and you make a run. My only question mark, pow, only question mark is, are they too far down the, you know, in the bracket to catch up? Are they too far down to catch up? They're like 13th. They have three, they're on a three game losing streak. You know, and I know they're playing Golden State. So you know, they're currently on a three game losing streak with no LeBron playing. And I think a big loss, yes, they did get Mo Bamba. We're talking about two different players here when I say this. Thomas Bryant was playing great basketball for them. Offensively and defensively, high energy, a great backup center, and he requested a trade. He wanted to move on, and some say he was promised when AD got back they were going to play together. Now AD kind of can move to the four, his natural position, a position he wants to play anyway. Didn't really happen, so he moves on. But to Thomas Bryant's credit, he moved on overnight. He was in 13th place to first place. So he didn't do too bad in that situation. But like I said, I don't know what that does. Obviously, you get LeBron in the playoffs, anything can happen, but you just wonder what does that mean? You know, you're possibly in the play-in tournament, anything can happen. Win or go home, obviously, in one game. Segue to LeBron James and his historic night. Oh, man. All-time leading scorer in NBA history. A unbelievable accomplishment for a guy that, you know, what he said is that he didn't have that in mind. He didn't come in as a scorer. He's a super athlete. Obviously, the ability to get a bucket when he wanted to, but he was a pass-first guy. He wanted to make the right play. And of course, get buckets. He was getting buckets. And to witness it, I got an opportunity to witness that. I don't know how many people knew that, care about it, doesn't matter. But I got an opportunity to actually be in the building. I called the game on ESPN Radio. It was a TNT game. Stan Van Gundy was calling that game. But I got the opportunity to call it on ESPN Radio. And when I was asked, I was like, cool. It'll be cool to see it. But I actually being in that moment, seeing him eclipse and now become the guy, the all-time leading scorer, and to move past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was pretty amazing. And to put it in perspective, I think about when I got to, you know, now just a little measly 25,000, but when I got to the 25,000 mark and I saw the graphic of people, players that were above me, looked at Karl Malone, you know, I was like, okay. Then you look at Kareem's at 38,000. I was like, bro, nobody's catching that. And then all of a sudden, we're here. And he, LeBron James, will hit the 40,000 point mark at some point in time. Think about that for me real quick, guys. 40,000 points. 40,000 when he's done. At least. It could get up to 42. But 40,000 points scored. It's just crazy. Side note. I want to give Kareem Abdul-Jabbar his flowers because 39 years of holding that record is unbelievable, one. Number two, when you look at how he scored 38,000 points, I just want you guys to think about it. You know, yes, this is a different game. This is a different game now where guys are coming in now. The game's faster, shooting more threes, more three-point attempts. Kareem scored 38,000. 386, 87, whatever it was, on two-point shots and free throws. And one made three-point shot in his career. That's a lot of twos for Scott Hook. A few mid-range jump shots and free throws. Do you hear me? He scored 38,000 points on twos and free throws. Oh, man. Now, just think of how much work you got to put in to do that in this today's game, scoring a lot of twos. I mean, like, the mid-range is a thing, but not a thing. There's, you know, the Phoenix Suns now are teams that shoot the mid-range. But a lot of teams don't really, I don't want to use the word allow, but they don't, you know, they don't encourage, it's not encouraged like it was. You know, when I got in, I was trying to head fake, get to a pull-up, 1-2 dribble, knock down a shot, what typically would be a mid-range, get all the way, and occasionally shoot the three. And it's flipped. You shoot the three, get to the basket, try to get fouled. But there's no real 1-2 pull-up like it used to be back in the day. So, I mean, I think that's just amazing to think that through, however you view it. And, you know, we're not getting into the conversation who's the greatest of all times. And I know some people sitting here, bro, that's a no player. Eh, whatever. But Kareem got it done. I got to say that.
The thing about Caesars Sportsbook, it's not just an app. It's your key to a whole empire. Hotels, casinos, restaurants, shows, Caesars Palace. I'm sure you've heard of it. Every bet you place with Caesars Sportsbook brings you closer to perks only Caesars can offer. Hotel stays at iconic destinations, app bonuses, merch, show tickets, and many more Caesars rewards perks. So get started today. Register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, congrats. If you don't, you'll get your stake back as a bet credit.
If you have a gambling problem, in Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed to Horseshoe, Bossier, City, and Harris, New Orleans. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harris, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER, which is 1-800-426-2537. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPENY or text HOPENY 467-369.
Kick your feet up, you can find us on all platforms. In that form, so be the hottest on them platforms. Your family now, got you listening to what we talking about. The VC Show, let's go, it's time to turn it out. The VC Show, let's go, let's go. The VC Show, let's go.
Some of my favorite trades or moves. Outside of, obviously, Phoenix was a huge one, who also got T.J. Warren. The Jazz get Russell Westbrook, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Damian Jones, and some picks. Obviously, Dallas got Kyrie and Markieff Morris. Mike Conley goes to the Timberwolves. The Blazers get Cam Reddish and Matisse Thybulle. Kevin Knox. Spurs did something small. Devontae Graham and Dwayne Dedmon. Nuggets got Thomas Bryant, which is a very, very good pickup. That is one of my favorites. I think he's going to help them. This is scary to think. You can put Thomas Bryant he shoots the three okay, but you can put Thomas Bryant in at the five with Jokic at the four, with Aaron Gordon playing the three, with Porter playing the two and Jamal Murray. You can have a big lineup like that just to give her a different look. They can still play fast. They're going to rebound. So I think Thomas Bryant is a huge pickup for them. What else? Luke Kennard goes to the Grizzlies. The Clippers. I want to talk about the Clippers real quick if I can. I like some of the moves they made. Bones Highland, Eric Gordon, Mason Plumlee. And I know they're potentially going to, you know, they're trying to get Westbrook. I'm hearing from some people that probably won't happen. And the reason I say that, mention his name, is because they got rid of their guard, their point guard. They got rid of John Wall, who went back to Houston, which was, I think that was a kick in the butt, if you would. Reggie Jackson goes to Charlotte. Now they have no real point guard. No disrespect to Trey Mann. Trey Mann, I think he's a guy who can score the ball, but he will be the point guard, and they said a little bit of PG. I think they need a traditional point guard to go with that roster, to not put all the pressure and onus on PG and sometimes Kawhi to come up and try to facilitate while you want them to score, while you want them to defend. You know, I think the defensive side of the ball, they're fine. They have a great coach, obviously, in Ty Lue. I just think at some point, playoffs, they're going to need a traditional point guard to be the facilitator, get everybody organized, understanding time, score, who needs to get the rock, blah, blah, blah. Pelicans get Josh Richardson. Gary Payton II going back to the Warriors, I think, is huge as well. Small, but huge, because they need another defender. They need an energy guy. I just think they just don't have that right now. Wiseman obviously goes to the Pistons, and others moved in that trade. And I know, which is going to be a little awkward. And I've been in this situation before, but we heard I'm sure you guys heard about Gary Payton failing his physical because of some rib situation, which can put him down 3 months. So they failed his physical, which is going to can void the trade. And when you talk about awkward, Wiseman trade, whether he's happy or not, I think he gets new life. He goes to Dwayne Casey, a young team, but he can get featured more and he gets the opportunity to play and just be himself and show what he can do in a different system. And, you know, maybe that system doesn't work for him. Maybe this Detroit system will work. But now it's put on hold and he might have to come back to the Warriors. So how awkward is that? There was a time I remember my teammate Alvin Williams is getting traded. I want to say he was getting traded to Boston. If not Boston, Portland, I can't remember. But he was on the bus. They took him off the bus. And we're getting ready to go over to the game. Took Al off the bus. Hey, we're trading you. And, you know, he goes, you know, it's one of my guys. And we play the game. A couple of days later, he gets there. Usually it's like 2 days later. You know, you have to take a physical. When you get traded to a new team, whether you're playing or not, you know, obviously Jay Crowder, who's not playing, is going to definitely get have to go to a physical to see, you know, if he's healthy or whatever. But when players get traded, whether they've been playing the night before or not, they'll have to go through a physical. To get clear to make the trade go through. That's just how it works. I guess a team can waive that. It's been done before. I guess they're like, hey, you know, you just played last night type thing. It can be waived. But more traditionally, that's how it works. And Alvin failed the physical, I think, from bad ankles and knees, and he was all messed up. But he played. He played through all of that. Yeah, that's a great example of that. He played through all of that stuff and still failed the physical. And they were like, they're looking at the future, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how that works. So I'm just curious to see how this Gary Payton situation plays out, because he's a huge piece to what the Warriors did last year and can be, once again, a huge piece to their success going forward. Because I think, you know, their defensive woes that we see on the road, he's not end all be all the only cure, but I think he's a start, and he can be a guy you can put in the game to junk up the game and just wreak havoc and find ways for them to win on the road and get themselves in, you know, where they need to be. Rockets got Danny Green, Justin Holiday, Frank Kaminsky, and of course John Wall, but you know, we'll talk about that in a second. I'm gonna double back on that. The Nets. We talked about the Nets playing hard, getting some pretty interesting pieces. They got Miles Bridges, Cam Johnson, Spencer Dinwiddie, Dorian Finney-Smith. All, you know, three of the four are defenders, so guys that really defend at a high level can play different positions. So I think the future can be bright for the Nets. Not like championship, but it can be interesting once again for a star player or two to add to this group of guys, kind of like what happened with KD and Kyrie before. They saw that, hey, man, add us to these guys who play hard, good things can happen. So we got to stay tuned on that. Raptors got Jakob Poeltl. Nothing big there. Josh Hart goes to the Knicks. Mike Muscala going to the Boston Celtics. Some people are like, who is that? Big white guy who could shoot the ball. Played for OKC. he was a big reason why the OKC Thunder beat LeBron and the Lakers on his special night, because he did not, he was unreal. And I say this because when you put shooters on the floor with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, that opens the floor up for them to do what they do. You can't double team off a great shooter. Like, that's, you know, and that's why teams try to get shooters. 3-and-D guys, guys who defend and guys who shoot to make things easier for their superstars. So I think that's a big pickup. A guy come off the bench. He's 6'11-ish, 6'10", 6'11", so he can shoot the ball, and big guys have to make a decision. So there you have it. What else? Jalen McDaniels, I think, a young athlete to the 76ers. I think they're going to like that. Hawks getting Sadiq Bey, who I like. Shout out to Bruno Fernando, one of my buddies. I had him as a rookie coming into the Hawks. He got traded, and now he's back. Garrison Matthews to the Hawks. But I like Sadiq Bey, another scorer. I just think the Hawks have a lot of guys, again, in that scoring small forward, two-guard position. So they're going to have some decision to make. Their Pacers are getting Jordan Nwaar, George Hill, my old teammate, Serge Ibaka. Patrick Beverley goes to the Magic. He'll probably get waived. I think Serge Ibaka is probably going to get waived. In Indiana, Reggie Jackson to the Hornets. Wiseman, I talked about, to the Pistons. So a couple of things I want to talk about. What were interesting is that out of all those trades, you notice I didn't name the Kings, the Bulls, the Cavs, and the Wizards. There's four teams that did not do anything during the trade deadline. And I'm going to speak about the Bulls and Cavs first of all. Like, think about where they are. I was a little surprised that they didn't do anything because they're on the cusp. Like, I think the Cleveland Cavaliers are very good. And obviously they were doing it. Like, at one point they were like top in the East, and they're still top four, top five. They're not playing Kevin Love right now. So I figured they were going to at least do something, maybe add another shooter. I don't know, something, but they didn't do anything. So nothing moved the needle. They're just going to stick with what they have as of right now. We'll see what the buyout market looks like. And then the Bulls. The Bulls, I thought they would try to do something because they're like right there stuck in the mud. It's like one piece can push them over the hump, maybe not win it, but make them a little more competitive. I mean, they've been up and down. They're, you know, they can score, obviously, with DeRozan playing lights out, All-Star once again. Obviously, Zach LaVine is getting it done as well. But just, you know, trying to find another piece, whatever that is. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and try to say what they need, but they didn't do anything. So I don't know what that means for them. Wizards, you know, whatever. And then the Sacramento Kings are interesting. They didn't do anything. And I was like, maybe add a veteran. But this team is playing so well and is accomplishing so much. Do you want to rock the boat? And maybe the organization's like, let's not rock the boat right now. We have what we have. We don't want to bring anyone in that has to figure out how they're playing and gel and mesh with what they have. So maybe that's why they didn't do it. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I mean, I don't think they're going to win it. Is there anything they can go out there and get that would put them over the hump? No. So I guess they figure, why go mess up what they have? Let's just go see what happens. Let's go gain this experience. Like, a lot of the guys they have don't have playoff experience. Obviously, my guy Kevin Herter has some experience. Harrison Barnes has some deep playoff experience. So they have a couple of guys and probably some other guys that I can't think of at the moment. But they have some guys that can get it done. Sabonis, for sure. But they have guys that, you know, can get it done and need some experience. So it'll be good for them where they are. So I understand that. Now, the buyout market. We mentioned Danny Green Patrick Beverly probably is going to get waived or bought out. These are what we're hearing. Russell Westbrook, Reggie Jackson, John Wall, T. Ross, Terrence Ross, Will Barton, Serge Ibaka. Excuse me. Of that group, Westbrook, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where he lands. I said earlier about the Clippers. I don't know. You know, it's possibly I hear Miami Heat right now. I don't know where else. I really don't know where else. Patrick Beverly wants to buy out. We saw the tweet that he said, oh, get the band back together, and the band was broken up, obviously, when D'Angelo Russell gets traded, but possibly him going to Minnesota, the backup, Mike Conley. Danny Green is probably the most interesting piece. Danny Green and Will Barton are two guys that are very, very interesting to me because I think they're the hot commodity. Reggie Jackson can have some value. Serge Ibaka can be a big, you know, backup safety valve if you need another big on your roster. Danny Green, I think, championship experience, a little older guy, but he's a 3-and-D guy that I think Phoenix would be interested in. Lakers would be interested in my opinion. I think he would fit well there. Those are the two right now that are kind of, I think, are huge for Danny Green. Will Barton, I think he wants a buyout or to be way. Well, I guess he wants a buyout. I think he'll end up going to Denver. I think they'll try to get him back in Denver. I think that's a great fit. He knows the culture, the offense. He'll be a great piece off the bench. So, yeah, man. I hope. These are some good topics for y'all to talk about. These are some things that I've been talking about all last week, and I want to kind of give you my thoughts and opinion on it to get conversation started with you guys at home. But I'm ready to shift gears a little bit. Let's shift some gears. Let's talk about what's going on in Phoenix. And I don't mean the Suns. I'm talking about the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl and your thoughts. Who do you have? Who do you have winning the Super Bowl? Obviously, I have the Bucks winning the Super Bowl. Seriously, I would like to see Jalen Hurts win a Super Bowl for the simple fact of there were so many doubters, and I guess this because I'm retired and I'm in retirement mode now. I'm a sucker for a good story. And to see a guy who, you know, we heard it. We saw all of the little tags of former players and media talking about, man, this guy couldn't lead a team into a playoffs and win and for sure win a Super Bowl. And here he is. So I think it's an unbelievable moment. And it'll be a great way to cap off a historic year, a great year for him. And for him, not even how I'm gonna show you, but like a guy believing in himself. You look at Lamar Jackson, they said he should play a different position. He was like, what? I'm playing quarterback. Next thing you know, he wins MVP. So guys believing in what they have to offer. These guys had success in college and all of a sudden, you know, organizations feeling like they aren't good enough to play the position and play somewhere. They need to play something else, but these guys are saying no. And having success proving these guys wrong is just a great story. And I want to see them finish it because I hope a lot of these guys and some of these guys who had something to say are my friends, I hope they come back and say, I was wrong. I was wrong about Jalen Hurts. And maybe they have already. I don't know. But I hope they come out and say, you know what? I was wrong about Jalen Hurts, whether he wins or not, honestly, because they said he couldn't lead a team into the playoffs. Not only did he lead them to the playoffs, not only did they have an unbelievable record when he was playing, they're in the Super Bowl. And I just think that's awesome. I think that's amazing. And then there's Patrick Mahomes. And it's just his magic. Patrick Magic, man. Like, he's amazing, man. I'm looking for a good game. I'm torn between, but I'm looking for a good game. I would love to see both quarterbacks do their thing and let the game play out as it may. You know, we talk about a historic event, two black quarterbacks, for those who care. I think that's huge at that position. And for young men growing up who have the dreams of being a professional athlete of any kind, particularly the quarterback position, I hope they're watching. And maybe if they're not your favorite or not, watch the moment, enjoy the moment, because it's historic. And to say you got to witness it, whether you make it professionally or not, when you get older and you start talking, and hopefully we see this more often or see the opportunity happen again, they're going to always talk about these moments, and you can actually say, you know what, I watched that. I watched these two guys play. Just like I can say, I was in the building when LeBron broke that record. Whether it's broken, the record is broken or not, I was there to see that. And I think this is another moment that I'm going to watch and enjoy. And I mentioned LeBron. I got to go back. I did say, well, I want to change my subject, but I want to say, I said about LeBron hitting 40,000, and we're all probably thinking nobody's going to catch that. Just think about this. LeBron averaged 20-21, I think, as a rookie coming out of high school for 20 years, up to 27 points a game. So a guy coming out of high school, I'm sorry, coming out of college, let's just say one and done, he's going to have to come in as a rookie averaging better than 21, 22 points a game his first couple of years, and obviously eclipsing or at least keeping up 25 to 27, maybe even 28 points a game for a long time. I mean, it depends on if he even makes it to whoever he is. He might not even be born yet, but he has to play for 20 years or like averaging well over 30 plus a game. And there's only a few guys who are average 30 points a game in their career. That's how tough it is, and that's how hard it is, it will be, to surpass where LeBron's going to finish in scoring. That's how hard it is to become number two in scoring, what you're going to have to average and do, or you have to play a long time and consistently score and do what he's doing. Last one, last topic, and I'm going to get out of here and let you guys go about your day or night or whatever it is you're doing. Go about your business. I'm going to let you go about your business. You know, I'm a golfer, so I got to, you know, Roz's not here, so I get my chance to talk a little golf. You know, Roz, you know, she's like, I don't know nothing about golf. But the Waste Management Tournament going on in Phoenix right now. Obviously, it's a historic event, a historic 16th hole. For those of you like, bro, I don't know nothing about golf. The cool thing about it, and I want to say for you, just to Google Waste Management Tournament in Phoenix, the 16th hole. It's a par three. And the reason I'm saying that is I want you guys to kind of just look at a video and look at the atmosphere and what these guys have to accomplish and hit upon. The crowd. Typically, golf is a quiet sport. On shots, you have to be quiet. It's a lot of just... It's like a party, man. It's like a party outside over a hole while guys are hitting. And it's a lot of pressure. And I'm curious to see for you guys who even, particularly you guys who don't golf and know anything about it, look at the video, guys or women or men. Sorry. I want you, you know, and I say you guys, I mean, in general. When you look at it, try to put yourself in that moment, the atmosphere, how crazy it is, and say, could you sit there and whatever your career is, could you sit there and accomplish whatever it is with all that pressure and crowd? Some of you probably say yes. And it's easy to say yes when we're sitting here. It's a totally different story when you're sitting there in that moment. I play in the Lake Tahoe tournament. We have a 17th hole that's kind of like that. And I tell you, it's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking. Playing tournament golf and casual golf is night and day. It's like playing preseason basketball or football than playing in the Super Bowl. You skip in playoffs. It's like playing in preseason in for casual golf and then going straight to Super Bowl or playing in the finals. The pressures of that. That's kind of the difference between casual golf and tournament golf, in my opinion, because all the anxieties are heightened. The anxieties of golf take over your body, and it's just different, bro. It's just, like, different. So I know I'm speaking French to a lot of those who don't understand golf, play golf, care about golf, but I think you should look at that up, look that up, and just, like, you know, just, like, live in that moment. Just do me that, do me a solid, and go look it up just real quick. Live in that moment and just tell me, it. Put yourself in that position. Just look at the crowd and say, could you handle that? Could you do it? And it, like I said, it's going to be, some of you are going to be like, yeah, man, that's nothing, until you're actually there. So think about some of the things. Think about when you're in class and that teacher calls on you to answer a question or to read, particularly when you're younger, and you're nervous, like, bro, I hope I get all these words right, or, man, I hope I know this if I know the answer to this question, because if not, they're going to clown me. It's kind of that type of feeling times a million. But I'm picking John Rahm. I think John Rahm, who is also, you know, went to school at Arizona State, from there playing lights out right now. John Rahm is my favorite to win that tournament, and I want to see Tony Finau do well as well. Good people, thanks again for listening, man. Subscribe to the VC Show if you haven't done so. I would appreciate that. Hey, tell a friend to give us a listen, man. There's a lot of people who not hip to game yet, man. We got to get everybody on here. We need some more friends to kick back, relax, and listen to VC and Roz. Tell it like it is. Have a little fun and entertain your ears, man. Much love, man. VC Show, we out. Let's go.
Every family has an origin story, one passed down through the generations. Mine happens to be a mystery involving my great-great-grandmother left behind in Sicily. I'm Joe Piazza, and my new podcast will transport you to the gorgeous island of Sicily as I trace my roots back through a whodunit for the ages. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.